Welcome to the EQ Fit Podcast. Our mission is to equip people to prosper in every aspect of their life. Whether you're at home or in the workplace, we explore practical ways of improving success, satisfaction, finding balance, and building enjoyable and beneficial relationships. Thank you for joining us. Over the years, I've had many people ask me, why are you so passionate about what you do? And I've thought about that, and it really comes down to people seem to be very difficult to understand. Different personalities, different mindsets, different motivators, different levels of emotional intelligence, different ways of doing things, different patterns. There's so many complexities and variables when we think about people, but I figured out how to decode all of that. And I'm so passionate about what I do because I can show other people how to get the kind of insight I can get for themselves through the assessments that I bring to the table and the customized assessment packages. It isn't just about the assessments. It's not just about the data. It's about actionable insights. That's why I'm so excited and passionate about what I do. All of the people issues in your organization can be resolved. And I will stand behind that statement, and I will prove it to you if you give me the chance, because I know that better data leads to better decisions. Better decisions lead to better outcomes. And we have a way to understand people at a very deep level and what drives them, what habits they have, whether they're productive or counterproductive. And all of that can come together so that we can make our best decisions, take our best actions, and get our best outcomes. Well, today we're going to apply that concept to competence. How do you measure competence? At its core, it's more than just a track record of experience or a mastery of technical skills. That's what most people look at. While those areas are very important, true competence emerges from a foundation of self-awareness and social skills. So think about that for a minute. We're going to break that down and look at that, kind of unpack it, and really look at it more deeply. A leader with high competence is someone who understands themselves, what they believe, how they behave, and why they make certain decisions. And they can also successfully navigate relationships with other people. And I'm talking about all aspects of relationships, whether it's conflict or whether it's collaboration or whether it's project focus with a team, all aspects of relationships. We're going to explore the dimensions of competence through the lens of self-awareness and social skills. We're going to examine how those qualities help leaders excel in behavior, communication, leadership, goal setting, their relationships, and their social influence. And by the way, I know you've heard this before if you've listened to previous episodes. Everybody is a leader. I firmly believe in that, because even if you don't lead any other person, which is highly doubtful, you've got to be able to lead yourself. So we're all leaders in some fashion. We're also going to look at how specific assessments, and I'll pinpoint the ones we're going to use. We're going to use, in this conversation, mindsets and motivators. We're going to use emotional intelligence assessments, and we're going to use the habit story assessment, which measures productive and counterproductive habits and how they impact an individual in many different aspects of their lives. Truly a breakthrough, one-of-a-kind assessment. I'm so excited that I've been able to add that to my library of assessments because it gives insight that no other assessment or even a multiple group of assessments can give me. And it's very practical stuff. So when we do that, that's going to provide us accurate insights into these areas of competence that we're talking about. And then we're going to bring it all together by highlighting how organizations can leverage these assessments for hiring better, for developing talent, and for creating thriving cultures. Isn't that what we all want? Don't we all want to work and live in a place that we enjoy and where the culture is good, where people collaborate, engagement levels are high? That's what we want. Not that daily, toxic, frustrating, disappointing environment that so many people find themselves in today. Well, let's figure out how to turn that around. I want to share a story with you. It just happened this week. I sat down and started a strategic planning process with a longtime client and friend. One of the key aspects of a good strategic plan is a well-designed plan for growing and developing people inside of the organization. You cannot effectively grow your organization if the people in the organization don't grow. Unfortunately, over the years, what I've seen with people's strategic plans for their organizations, no matter how good their strategic plan is, creating a good plan for people is either ignored or it's only lightly addressed. And I really believe that's more out of ignorance that there is really good actionable data and insights that can be gained to help create a very effective people plan. But I just don't think enough people know about those things, or they have some skepticism, or they've tried this personality assessment or that strengths assessment or some assessment. I am talking a world of difference here. If all your experience has been based on this assessment over here or that assessment over there, that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a multidimensional assessment data gathering process that gives us insights into people as if we have worked with them for many years, but we get to have that data up front to help us make good decisions, make good plans, and get the best possible outcomes. So here we are. We're working on that. And the funny thing about this story is I'm highlighting for him one key area of the habit story assessment. And I've got a team report. I've got all of his people in a team report. And I was able to draw a box around four productive habits that every single one of his team members scored low in. Well, what does that mean? Well, obviously he was concerned about that, and I appreciate that, but I was kind of excited about it. I know, why would I be excited about it? Because we had just identified low-hanging fruit. We had just been able to see, wait a minute here, since everyone in the organization on his team has lower scores in those four productive habits that are directly related to increasing capacity and increasing competence, this is low-hanging fruit. This is an immediate place to get very rapid improvement. And as I was sharing with him this insight that I have and discussing different ways we can immediately put things in place to help people grow these productive habits and lock those things in, I could see him getting excited as well. And that's what this kind of data can do. And it's not just about one assessment. The other assessments help me understand how to leverage the data with each individual to help them grow in these productive habits. So it's a combination of this multidimensional assessment process. Any organization can do exactly the same thing as I'm doing for this individual, this good friend of mine, that we have worked together and worked with his team over the years. And that's the kind of insight that I want people to know is possible. People don't have to be a puzzle. They don't have to be a conundrum or whatever else you want to call it. You really can understand what is driving people, what their habits are, whether they're productive or counterproductive. We can understand their response patterns. We can understand their emotional state. We can understand the level of emotional intelligence they have. Can you see why I get a little excited about this? We can now shine a light on all of those things that are so important in understanding other people. Why do I get excited about that in the long run? Because it means that everybody has a chance to get better, to have a more successful and a more satisfying life in every aspect, in their personal life, in their professional life, in the way that they go about doing what they're doing. So that's the story that I want to share with you today around that. Now, from that, we were able to start to build a good people plan for him and his people to develop those productive habits, which is going to have a huge impact on their competency and their capacity. This is going to remove the roadblocks to the growth that he wants for his organization. So let's start to break down this whole concept of competence being self-awareness and social skills above and beyond other things you may think of as being competence. Like, do you have experience in an area? Do you have technical skills? Yes, those are important. But above that are these two pillars of competence. Self-awareness involves recognizing your own emotions, your biases, your behaviors, your patterns, your triggers. Research by Dr. Tasha Urich has shown that 95% of people believe that they're self-aware, yet only 10 to 15% of people actually meet the criteria for self-awareness. That's a pretty big gap, isn't it? And I see this all the time. When I do assessments that measure self-awareness, almost every single person I have ever talked to and given one of these assessments says, oh, I'm sure that self-awareness is probably my strongest area. Well, the research says that only 10 to 15% of people truly are at a fairly high level of self-awareness. So the other side of this is social skills. Social skills are the behaviors that enable us to interact effectively with other people. Daniel Goleman, a leading authority in emotional intelligence, includes social skill as one of the five main components of emotional intelligence, or measures of EQ, emotional quotient. Emphasizing how it helps leaders build rapport, find common ground, and move people in the desired direction. This is what I call influence. Connection plus trust equals influence. And emotional intelligence skills are the skills that are most critical to connecting well with people, to building trust with people, so that you can leverage that influence. When someone excels at both self-awareness and social skills, it becomes evident in how they lead themselves and how they lead others across multiple facets of life and work. Let's talk about those. The first one is behavior. So how does that work in leading themselves? A self-aware individual consciously monitors their actions, their habits, and their daily routines. They can recognize how personal behavior impacts their success and their well-being. What about leading other people? Leaders who practice positive, consistent behaviors set the tone for their teams. By demonstrating integrity, resilience, and discipline, they inspire those around them to follow suit. Okay, so the next major area of impact after behavior is communication. So what about leading yourself in communication? I love that one because I talk a lot about self-talk, how important self-talk is in your motivation, your intrinsic motivation. Well, leading oneself, effective communication begins with self-awareness, knowing how your voice, your tone, and your body language reflect your internal state. And that is going to be an outcome of your self-talk or self-communication. Leading others, leaders with strong social skills adapt their communication style to diverse audiences. They actively listen and they articulate ideas with clarity. And I'm going to stress that that is with an understanding of who their audience is in the moment. Because if you're talking to a CEO of an organization, that is a different level of vocabulary and communication than if you're talking to a construction worker or somebody who is a janitor that's cleaning the rooms. We need to be able to communicate on all levels with all different socioeconomic classes of individuals. And that's important because if we want to be good leaders in every aspect of that term, clear and effective communication is absolutely critical. The other side of that in communication, it encourages open dialogue and it creates a psychologically safe environment, which we know is absolutely critical to a culture of feedback. And a culture of feedback is a fast track to success and greater satisfaction in the workplace. Well, let's talk about leadership itself. Leading oneself, great leaders are intentional about their personal development, a growth mindset, right? This includes reflection, learning new skills, and staying open to feedback, which we just talked about. Leading others, competent leaders motivate and empower those they lead. They provide direction, they ensure accountability, and they recognize both individual and team contributions. Okay, now the next major area we're going to talk about is goal setting. And this is the time of year when so many people are setting goals, so many things are going on. Leading oneself, self-awareness helps individuals set realistic yet challenging goals aligned with their values and their capabilities. And those should be stretch goals, right? Especially for ourselves. That is a growth mindset. Leading others in goal setting. Leaders use emotional intelligence to establish team goals that consider everyone's strengths and motivations. Clear communication of objectives and checkpoints fosters ownership and a commitment among team members. Now, the next area, major area we're going to focus on is going to be the area of relationships. And of course, you know, this is a big one. Leading oneself. Cultivating healthy relationships begins with understanding our interaction style and our boundaries. Self-awareness allows us to see patterns in our relationships, both positive and negative. And those patterns, we can then do something with that. If we can recognize them, we can then decide, do we stay in that pattern or do we exit that pattern? So what about leading others? Strong social skills mean an understanding of the group dynamics, recognizing conflict triggers, and knowing how to facilitate collaboration. Leaders high in social competence create trust, they strengthen group cohesion, and they minimize conflicts. I know I'm hitting a lot of this at a high level, and I would love to go deeper on this, but if I went deeper on this whole thing today, it would be a four-hour episode, which might be okay with most people, but I want to keep it focused at a high level for right now. The last one we're going to focus on is social influence. Leading oneself. Influencing others starts with consistency between your internal values and your outward actions. If you believe in an idea, you'll communicate it with authenticity. I think we can all agree to that. I think that is a truth that we all know. Leading others. Leaders with strong social skills use empathy to persuade rather than coerce or dictate. They find common ground, they relate to people's motivations, and they rally teams around common goals. So we've talked about several different major areas of impact related to competence through self-awareness and through social skills. Next, we're going to focus on how do we really measure this stuff so that we can get a good idea of competence through an actual assessment. So let's dive into these assessments. The first one is mindsets or motivators. And mindsets or motivators, that kind of an assessment helps to illuminate why people do what they do. They're the drivers behind the reasons they do things. They explore the drivers behind behavior, tapping into core values and motivations. When someone understands the reasons for their actions, first, they can align their tasks and their career path with their most deeply held motivators. And secondly, leaders who understand what drives each team member can tailor engagement strategies, recognition, and rewards, which increases performance and satisfaction in the team. Now, when I talk about these assessments and how they measure these things, I always like to give a proof source. I don't want somebody to come back and say, that's just your opinion. No, everything I pull has proof sources behind it. Good research, good data behind it. Studies in self-determination theory indicate that individuals who see their work as aligning with their intrinsic motivations, they experience higher levels of job satisfaction and engagement. That comes out of Ryan and Desi, self-determination theory in the year 2000. Okay, the next assessment, and one that I am deeply involved in, emotional intelligence, which is a part of neuroscience or neurochemistry or biology in our brains, emotional intelligence assessments. Let's talk about those. How can we use an emotional intelligence assessment to help us measure competence? Well, they provide a structured way to measure components of emotional awareness, self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and social skills, the key things we're trying to measure. High EQ correlates with better leadership outcomes, stronger relationships, and increased job performance. That's out of Daniel Goleman's Working with Emotional Intelligence, 1998. And I have seen study after study after study and surveys from Six Seconds. Their State of the Heart study is an amazing study of information that really points to how emotional intelligence impacts people. What the scores are, what it means, is emotional intelligence going up or down in our world today? And for leadership purposes, what does that look like? Do you really want to be a leader worth following which is going to include emotional intelligence, or are you going to do something different? There is so much good information out there. The second thing to focus on here is these assessments pinpoint areas of strength and development, helping leaders and individuals focus on actionable goals. So improving conflict resolution skills, managing stress, or being more empathetic in conversations. A lot of people think, oh, if I practice empathy, I'm giving in. That is the furthest from the truth you can get. Practicing empathy is understanding the emotional drivers that someone else has, their perspective, where they're coming from, putting yourself in their shoes, and caring about where they're coming from. It doesn't mean you change your decision as a leader. It doesn't mean that it negates what you're thinking, feeling, or doing. But what it does is it opens the door for things like trust, psychological safety, deeper connections, greater collaboration. Those sound like good things to me. What's the proof point here? A study published in the Journal of Organizational Behavior showed that leaders who scored higher on EQ measures had teams with greater job satisfaction and lower turnover. The people that wrote that study, Tsai, Tram, and O'Hara, 2006. And the third assessment we're going to focus on, and one that I am so thankful is now in my library of assessments, is the Habit Story Assessment. And I'm going to start out with a number that you may or may not know. 46% of our daily decisions and actions are done habitually, with little thought or consideration. The Habit Story Assessment is designed to reveal the patterns behind people's daily decisions and actions. It digs into how ingrained habits, routines, and mental scripts shape behavior over time. This is a really important concept. By mapping out the stories individuals tell themselves, you can identify destructive or limiting thought patterns, or what we call counterproductive habits. Conversely, you can uncover positive habits or productive habits and reinforce them to drive consistently high performance. The more we diminish our counterproductive habits, the more we can increase our productive habits and the more impact they'll have, because they don't have that dampener of the counterproductive habit impacting the productive habit. And there is so much research on this. Go to the Habit Story website, which is TwoStory, T-W-O Story. Go to their website and check that out. Also, there's some research done by Wood, Quinn, and Cashy in Health Psychology 2002, which basically states over 40% of daily actions are not conscious decisions, but are driven by habits. And that's where we get those numbers from. So think about that. Almost half of a person's daily actions are done without thinking. So I would hope, for me at least, that my habits would be much more on the productive side than the counterproductive side. But then we've experienced the other, haven't we? Okay, let's bring this all together. What do we do with this? It's good information, it's good insight, but how do we put it into action? Well, first, let's talk about hiring. If we're going to hire what I call right fit talent, and right fit means skills, experience, position, team, leader, organization, culture, all of those things are a part of getting the right fit. How does that happen? How do we use these assessments to help us understand competence in candidates? Well, the mindsets and motivators, the emotional intelligence assessments, and the habit story assessment, when I package these together, and I do this for my clients that I do searches for, when I am actually retained to do a search, for a key position with one of my clients, we use this package of assessments. Well, how does it work? Well, first off, you're going to go far beyond the resume, right? People can go on to some kind of a generative AI platform today. They can take a job position posting and they can say, create me a resume from my experience that fits this job posting. And you see some really nice resumes. And the problem is they all look the same because they're all coming out of AI, right? Well, how do you get past that? This is where assessments are worth their weight in gold. I'm trying to figure out how that works, actually, because there isn't really any weight to a digital document. Anyway, that's a different issue. But if we can measure an individual's self-awareness and their internal drivers and their ability to empathize, connect with others, their social skills. So the self-awareness and the social skills we've been talking about, which we can do with these assessments, these tools will help to ensure that a candidate's values and behavioral patterns and their drivers truly align with organizational culture. This is going to reduce costly turnover by focusing on traits predictive of success. I don't use any assessments that aren't at a high level of predictive validity. So when you talk to assessment people, and there aren't that many of us out there, they'll talk about different kinds of validation processes. Predictive validity is what you want because it means you're measuring what's actually going to happen. So this predictive validity, such as emotional resilience, adaptability, genuine curiosity. Oh my goodness, that's a big one. Curiosity is a huge success factor for people, and it's so rarely practiced in the workplace today. I wish it were practiced more, and I try to encourage that in the people that I coach. Curiosity is a wonder. It's almost a superpower in a lot of ways. So this emotional resilience and adaptability, they hinge on strong self-awareness, knowing your stress triggers, your coping strategies, and it also relies on refined social skills, communicating effectively during high-stress situations. Genuine curiosity often arises when a person is both introspective, so self-awareness, and collaborative, that's the social skills, in their approach to things. So let's take the next step. That's hiring. What about developing people, which I talked about in my story today? How are we going to develop these people in my friend's organization? Well, the tools that we're talking about act as a roadmap for continuous development by pinpointing specific strengths and specific opportunities for improvement. Individuals, teams, and leaders can create targeted growth plans. That is exactly what I did with my friend. Self-awareness ensures each leader understands their emotional tendencies and motivations, while social skills enable them to effectively receive feedback, foster collaboration, and mentor other people in their growth journeys. So it's this beautiful cycle that goes on. Organizations that invest in these assessments foster a culture of learning, encouraging employees to develop self-awareness and become more effective in leading others. By recognizing how your personal behaviors impact team dynamics, that's self-awareness, and by leveraging emotional intelligence in daily interactions, which is social skills, leaders can sustain an environment where people feel supported, valued, and inspired to improve continuously. Now, the last part that I want to talk about is creating a culture where people can thrive. A culture that prizes self-awareness and social competence encourages psychological safety, open communication, collaboration, and innovation. That all sounds like pretty good stuff to me. When individuals understand their internal motivators, that's self-awareness, and master empathy and relationship building. That's social skills. It paves the way for transparent, trust-based communication that drives creativity and problem solving. And one of the big areas for my friend and his team that is lacking right now is a high degree of the ability to problem solve. We all need that. All of our teams and people need to develop those productive habits. Leaders trained in understanding mindsets, emotional intelligence, and habit patterns can model the behaviors that create psychological safety and trust. Through their own heightened self-awareness, these leaders remain attuned to their emotional states and their triggers, and through their social skills, they can create spaces where their team members feel secure to speak up, to share ideas, and to challenge the norms. Doesn't that sound good? Competence isn't just about what you know. It's about how you show up, how you relate to others, and act in line with your deeper motivations and values. By cultivating self-awareness and by honing our social skills, we are better able and equipped to guide ourselves and those around us toward greater success. Assessments like mindsets, motivators, emotional intelligence assessments, and the habit story assessment give us tangible, data-driven insights into an individual's underlying drivers, their emotional intelligence, and their day-to-day habits. When applied to hiring, development, and culture-building efforts, these tools help create organizations that truly thrive, ones where people are not only well-qualified, but also deeply motivated, emotionally intelligent, adaptive, innovative, and basically using their higher cognitive functions at the top of their abilities. By measuring and nurturing these aspects of competence, you can unlock the full potential of yourself, your leaders, your teams, and the entire organization. Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode, or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at eqfit.org.